I'm Bhante Siddhartha, and this is the last Saturday meditation with the monastics for 3 months. But I believe that the session is continuing, is that right? That there'll still be something on this time? Is that right? Can someone confirm that? Yes? Yep. So the session will still be here, but the monks and nuns won't be coming down to lead it for the next 3 months. So, but if you need a place to come and practice with some friends, then the space will still be here. So, just a few more people coming in. And I guess since this is the last chance we have to do that for now, I just want to say on behalf of the Sangha, our gratitude to all the people down here at the BSWA and all the people who contribute through donations, through attending, and especially those who are volunteering down here, because all of these events have to be organised and arranged, and somebody has to do all the lights and sound and all of that kind of thing. So just to sort of say thank you to all of the wonderful volunteers who have done such a good job all through the year to make this event and all the other events at the BSWA happen. And sometimes we take it for granted, but if it wasn't for people who are giving their time freely out of the kindness of their heart, then we wouldn't be able to do any of these kinds of things. So sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so it looks like mostly people are in, still one or two. Okay, so for today's meditation, what should we do? Well, as for the last couple of weeks I've been down here, I've been getting people to vote on their meditation, so we might as well keep on doing that. And you get to participate in meditation. And that way, the main reason why I get people to try and vote on the kind of meditation is because if you suck, you can't blame me. Right? That's basically the point of democracy, right? You choose it, so that's your fault, okay? So I might do the same three choices as we did yesterday. We had a vote between breath meditation, metta meditation, and the four elements meditation. So some people who did that four elements meditation might be interested to do it a bit more depth this afternoon or to go over it again. So let's take those three options: breath meditation, loving kindness meditation, and four elements meditation. So who wants to do breath meditation, mindfulness of breathing? Very unpopular. Who wants to do loving kindness meditation? Quite a bit more popular. And who wants to do four elements meditation? Oh my goodness. Okay, well there you go. It's a lock. Four elements meditation, we are. Okay. Why do you want to do four elements meditation? Are you just bored with other kinds of meditation? Just want to try something new? Yeah, mostly? Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, well we did a little bit of the meditation on the four elements last night, and so what I might do is today I'll go over the same, pretty much the same ground as we did last night, just to sort of refresh your memory for those who weren't here, but also not everyone would have heard it last night. But hopefully we'll just have quite a bit more time today so we can go into it in a little bit more depth. So when we meditate on the four elements, what we're talking about is that there are four basic material or physical properties. And those four basic properties are earth, water, fire and air. Okay? And these correspond more or less to the categories that they talk about in Western science that we learnt in school, solids, liquids and gas. Right? And heat is the energy. So heat is what transforms the other elements from one to the other. So as a description or an understanding of the physical world, a simple description, then it's quite clear enough. It's quite straightforward, right? But the big difference between the Buddhist approach and the Western scientific approach is that Western scientific approach comes from purely external observation of these elements. Whereas from a Buddhist point of view, we begin with an internal observation of them. Right? So it's how these elements are perceived by the mind. Right? So we think of them as elements or properties. Okay? So from a Buddhist point of view, there's no such thing. We don't really think of the external world or the physical world as existing objectively or independent of the mind. Right? What we pay attention to is our experience of that world. And our experience of that world includes those physical properties, but also our own perception, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own memories. And these shape the manner in which we experience those external properties. Okay? So by focusing our attention and developing the meditation on those properties, then we give ourselves an opportunity to develop our mind in various kinds of interesting ways. Okay? Now, I mentioned last night that this four elements meditation is a very rich meditation. In fact, in the suttas, we find the Buddha talked about these meditations a lot, and some of the longest suttas are on these meditations. And in the Theravadan tradition, in the Visuddhimagga, the great meditation manual of the Theravada, the section on the four elements meditation is probably the longest and most detailed section of any of the meditations. So there are many different ways that you can do this meditation, many different approaches which might suit different people. So I'm going to just lead you in one of those approaches, and it's a fairly simple, fairly straightforward approach for now. But of course you will find many others. Now, I'll just mention in passing a few of the things that this kind of meditation can do, okay, and why we do it and what are the benefits of it. So the number one thing that this meditation can do is it can lead to being more grounded in your body, all right, because we're paying attention to the physical properties that make up our body and our physical experience so that it can help us to have more mindfulness of our body, to more feel at home where we're at. So this is one benefit we can have from that, from this meditation. Another kind of meditation that we can have is, sorry, another kind of benefit that we can have from this meditation is that that these elements, right, even though we think of them as physical elements, but these elements also have emotional connotations and emotional dimensions, right? It's not just purely a physical experience. And those emotional dimensions will be different for different people, and they can cause you to respond to these elements in different ways. So this is actually something that's quite interesting. Like you probably would know that. Like it's like some people maybe have like an affinity for water. You know, maybe they love to go down and look at the ocean and look at the water, and they feel that connection. Others maybe have an affinity with fire. They kind of love to look into a fireplace and watch the flames burning and things. And sometimes when you can do that, those elements, when they're in a very pure form, then they can be very attractive. You can feel like a sense of connection, like an emotional connection with them. And through that emotional connection, then that can bring the mind to stillness, to oneness, to what we call samadhi, right? To deep states of stillness and immersion in meditation. So this is another benefit that it can give you. The third benefit is that by practicing these meditations, we're breaking down the barriers or the distinction between the inner and the outer. Okay? So between me, between self and other. Okay? By contemplating the relationship and the connection between one's own body and the world around. And by doing this, this leads to realization and understanding of not self. Okay? Because who are we? We are just these elements. And so this is the third kind of benefit that you can get from this meditation. So there are many other benefits from the meditation, and depending on your personality, depending on the way that you practice it, but that's enough for now to get some idea of why we do this particular meditation. Now, it's also said in the traditions that you can use these kinds of meditations for getting all kinds of very, very cool psychic powers. Right, so you can learn by meditating on the earth. That's how you can get to do stuff like walking on water. Right, you just turn the water into earth and then you can walk on it. Right, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so if you want to be able to do that stuff, you can do this meditation. And then these guys are trying it now, you see. You have to start walking on the actual earth first, right? So, you know, regardless of whether you're interested in getting these kinds of psychic powers or not, the point of it is that these meditations can lead to very deep states of mind, very powerful states of mind. Okay. So, for today, we're going to do a simple contemplation on the four elements. So we're going to go through the four elements in turn. And we're going to contemplate them internally and externally, and we're going to contemplate them until we can begin to see each element is kind of dissolving, or each element is merging, so that there's no distinction between the inside and the outside. Now, what do we mean when we talk about like observing or contemplating the experience of the elements inside oneself? Well, it's kind of complicated because, well, your mind is complicated. But what it boils down to is that you primarily have a physical feeling or experience of these elements, right? That is to say, a touch sensation. Right? So you can actually feel them. Like if you feel the nails in your fingers, you can feel the hardness of them, and that hardness is the earth element. Right, so you have that touch sensation which allows you to experience that physical property in the present. And even if you're not actually touching it with your fingers or something, you can actually learn much more subtly, but you can learn to experience that sensation, that property inside your body. All right? Now, so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is the visualization. And so and this very much depends on a person's personality. Some people are much more visual in meditation, some people are more tactile. Okay? So you might experience these things by actually visualizing them. So you might actually like see your fingernails or see your bones or see the liquids in your body or some other kind of element. And you actually have that vision. Right? So that's fine. Either way of experiencing the elements is fine, either as a vision in your mind or as a touch sensation. So both of those are avenues towards realizing or experiencing these things. Okay, so however you experience them, we just focus on experiencing them clearly and keeping them in mind. Now you're likely to find, as you go on doing this meditation, that certain kinds of experience will be more clear, and others very vague. So sometimes you're paying attention, you're not really sure what is that, or you know, what's actually going on, it doesn't mean anything to you, and then suddenly something will sort of almost like leap out to you, and this idea of one of the elements or something like that will actually come into your mind and be so bright and clear. So that's good. So if that happens, then you just stay with that. Okay? You don't need to go and do all of the other elements and things, but you just stay with whatever's clear and present and vivid in your own mind. Right? So how this works is kind of mysterious. You can't really predict it. Maybe something will be vivid to you one meditation and not the next, and so on. So don't worry about it too much, but just that basic principle is if there's something in the meditation in those elements that becomes very vivid and clear, then just stay with that rather than continuing on to do other parts of the meditation. All right? Okay, so let us... I'm just trying to think, anything else we need to do to talk about before beginning? Also, just to say, as a kind of rule of thumb, like, you know, since this is the advanced meditation group, then all of you have done other forms of meditation and so on. And so I think it's, as a general rule, it's good to do a few different kinds of meditation. And we find that in the suttas, when the Buddha's teaching meditation, that he frequently will teach a number of different meditations to the same person, right? So breath meditation, the loving kindness, and the four Brahma Viharas, four elements, other ones, various kinds of contemplations on kasinas and all kinds of things. So these don't think that you have to do just one meditation. Right? It's good to do a variety of different meditations because each meditation will work with your mind in a slightly different kind of way. And in fact, you will often find that if you just do the same meditation always, that your mind will get lazy and complacent. Right? So you just kind of drift along with the meditation. And if you try a new meditation, and if you find that when you try that new meditation, that your mind goes back to your old meditation, right? That's a sign that that's what's happening, right? You've lost that mindfulness, and you're just sort of drifting around and going back to your old habits, right? So if that's happening in your meditation, don't see it as a problem. See it as a piece of wisdom that it's telling you, oh, this is what you need to do because you've fallen into a rut. You've gotten into a habit. So you need to break that habit by doing a few different meditations so that you can approach them each in their own way. All right? So it's good to do different meditations, but don't mix up the different meditations in the same sitting. Okay? So if you're going to do four elements meditation, then we just do the four elements meditation. And don't do that for like 10 minutes and then think, oh, this isn't getting me anywhere. I'll start doing some breath meditation, or I'll start doing some loving kindness or something, and just drift around from one to the other. Okay? So that's just wasting time, right? Don't try to put them all in at once. Choose one meditation for that session and take that as far as it goes. If it's not going anywhere, if you're just distracted and sleepy or whatever, that's fine. It happens to everyone. So just stop the meditation, get out of the meditation, stand up, walk around, and if you want to try another meditation, then you can sit down again and start another meditation. But don't drift around in the same meditation from one to the other. Right? Again, that will get you into bad habits and it will train you to lose your mindfulness and to forget what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Right? So choose one meditation per session and then stick with that. Okay, so let's do the four elements meditation for the next 40 minutes or so. Sitting quietly. Let your mind settle down inside your body. get a feel for how your body is sitting right now. Grounding your awareness in the physical sensation of the body. Notice the mind state that you're bringing into the meditation, mood, thoughts. Usually the things we've been doing before the meditation, usually they'll echo around for a while. And just be aware of that. Know it, let it go. Come back to peace and stillness. Okay, so let's begin meditation on the four elements, beginning with the earth element. We start the meditation on the earth element by paying attention to the most obvious example of the earth element inside your body. And so usually that's maybe your teeth, or if you prefer, maybe the nails on your hands. And so these parts of the body are very hard, and they contain a strong aspect of that earth element. So just feel what that's like. Feel what the teeth feel like inside your mouth. Solid, unyielding. The property of solidness is what we mean when we talk about the earth element. And if you compare the feeling or the sensation of your teeth with the feeling of the nails in your hands, you can feel that they're quite different, but at the same time they have that thing in common, that hardness. And that thing that they have in common, that property they have in common, is what we call the earth element. And from there, move throughout your body, trying to get a sense for those things that are more hidden, a bit harder to experience, like your bones, for example, the feeling of your skull inside your head, the shoulder bones, and backbone, ribs, keeping your body is in shape. Imagine if we didn't have any bones, we'd be like jellyfish. And so it's that earth element that keeps us, gives like a stiffness and a firm shape to our body and our limbs. So see if you can discern that same earth element, the same as you experience in your teeth or your nails. See if you can see that same element throughout the different parts of your body. take our mind and use it to explore outside the body as well. Experiencing the hardness, the solidity of the seat on which you're sitting. And it's interesting that just as your bones and your skeleton are keeping your body upright, and so too the hardness of the seat is doing the same thing. It's almost like they're cooperating, they're part of the same system. And from your seat, out further, the ground around us, the building, bricks and mortar, tiles, and then out across the earth. Until we can encompass in our mind the whole of this earth. This big ball of rock circling the sun. Just big hard lump of the earth element. And the earth element inside ourselves and the earth element outside. There's no difference between them. It's just the earth element. It's just that physical property of hardness. We're not something that's separate from the earth. We're not something that's separate from nature, from our physical surroundings. We're just a part of that system. So instead of being aware of either the internal or the external earth, we're just aware of the earth elements, our own body flowing into the world outside, just part of that same thing. Now from the earth element, we move to the water element. Starting with the most obvious example of the water element, which is usually the saliva in your mouth. And you can feel that liquid in your mouth. It has a certain texture, a certain property to it that's quite different than the solidity of your teeth. It moves, it flows, it's formless, and yet it sticks everything together. It has a binding quality to it, gets in between things. And you know what it's like when your mouth goes very dry. It feels like your lips are cracking. Water in your mouth and move your awareness through your body just like we did with the earth element, exploring all the different kinds of liquids in your own body. And whether it be the tears in your eyes, the blood in your veins, the different liquids in your digestive tract, urine, sweat, all of these different kinds of liquids. Flowing, moving through your body, carrying nutriments around, moistening your tissues, binding the body together. Without them, our body would just desiccate and dry up. Become dust. Now moving out from your body into the world and paying attention to that same element outside yourself. And in the room with us, all these other bodies sitting here, all of them filled with water as well. Outside, it's been raining today, so the ground is wet. The water soaking into the earth, much like the blood and the other liquids soaking in your body. The plants and trees full of water. The pipes. The sky hanging heavy with clouds. Groundwater underneath us. Not far away, the Great Swan River, full of water, flowing down to the ocean, filling the Indian Ocean and mixing with those vast waters that cover so much of our planet's surface. And this whole system, the water is moving around and functioning in this system much the same as it does in our own bodies. If you've seen beautiful pictures of the desert or seen from a plane the desert after a rainstorm and the water flowing through the desert, it's astonishing how much it looks like a living thing. It looks like the veins and arteries in the body. So there's the water element we experience inside, the water element outside. It's just water element. Nothing fundamentally different about it. We evolved in the oceans, and the water inside our body is still pretty much just seawater. And all of the biological and chemical activity that happens in the body, all of this happens in that medium. Heat element. And we experience that element of fire or that element of heat through the sensations of heat or lack thereof, sensations of heat and cold. Cold is just a weak level of heat element. So if you pay attention to your own body now, we've been sitting here for a while and this room is fairly nice and warm, so it's quite likely that under your clothes, on your skin, you maybe feel quite a bit warm. And so just pay attention to that feeling of warmth. Maybe not. Maybe you feel cold. Maybe your extremities, your feet or your hands or your nose feels quite cool. It's okay, just pay attention to that. Wherever you can feel that sensation of temperature, wherever it's most obvious to you, just pay attention to that for a couple of minutes. Get used to that feeling of temperature and note how that's different from the solidity of the earth element and from the liquidity of the water element. around your body and notice that the feeling of heat is different parts of your body. Sometimes just the act of paying attention to the heat in your body makes you feel hotter. You can feel that different heat energy keeping your body alive. It's the energy that powers your body. Inside your body, reflect on the different kinds of heat outside, such as the heat in the room. It's quite warm in here. And just outside the room, it's quite cool. And the heat energy always wanting to flow from the heat to the cold. Now underneath us in the earth, the ground is quite cool if you dig just into the earth, but if you go down a little bit it starts to warm up a few meters down. And the earth is quite warm. And as you go further inside the middle of the earth, then it's blazing hot, molten rock. And on the surface of the earth, if we go up in the sky, the temperature changes, usually gets cooler as you go up. Around the surface of the planet, today here in a Perth winter day, it's a somewhat cool day. But other places on the planet, it's blazing hot. Some places it's freezing cold. Even in the oceans, different temperatures are fueling the currents. And so our whole planet is this system of heat energy moving and shifting and driving the life of this planet. And just like you see those different kinds of energy in your own body, you see the same kind of thing outside in the planet. If you take your mind further up out into space, temperature drops till it's almost absolute zero. And further you go out into space, into intergalactic space, it's almost entirely absolute zero, almost no heat whatsoever. Nothing moves, nothing lives, nothing grows. And so this heat, this energy, this movement, this is one of those properties of that thing we call life. Because of the reactions and the fuel inside our body, we maintain our own heat and our own energy. But when we die, That energy just dissipates, flows out from our body back into the surroundings. And from that time then the energy, the heat energy in our body, is just the same as that around us. And so there's no real difference between ourselves and the rest of the environment. We are just a part of it. It's just heat energy. And finally to the air element. And the most obvious example of this is the breath coming in and out of your body. And so just pay attention to that sensation of breathing. And especially to that property of what the air is like, or the wind is like, that moving. Feel that same thing. Not so obvious, but sometimes in different parts of your body as well. Maybe like if you have some gas in your belly. or even just the energies and movements in the different parts of your body can be considered as an aspect of the air element. Pay attention to that breathing, then you're also seeing how the external earth element and the internal earth element are just constantly becoming exchanged. What's inside goes out, what's outside comes in. And we only borrow the air for a few seconds before sending it back, taking some oxygen, returning some carbon dioxide. And so the air inside our own lungs, the air that fuels our body, makes all of the reactions in our body possible. This is just like a part of that whole system of air in the whole atmosphere. And our planet, a beautiful planet, is covered in this very, very thin layer of gas that we call the atmosphere, the air. And that thin layer of gas is very turbulent, it's always moving. Winds blowing, shifting, weather changing. And the plants are part of that. The plants always breathing out oxygen and breathing in CO2. So each time we breathe in, we can only do that because of the plants. We make it possible for us to live. And it's only because we're part of this whole system that we can live at all. As we breathe, we are participating in our environment. We are participating in each other's environment. And so that sense of being separate, being an individual, being like this hard sense of identity that we have, gradually melts away. We realize this is just a convention. It's just a set of pragmatic principles that we adopt for a while, so that we can get by thinking of ourselves as something separate and unique and special. That actually, we're not special and unique. Really, we're something much more than that. We're part of a great, much bigger whole. We're part of this planet, part of life, part of the atmosphere. We belong to it, and it belongs to us. And the idea that we are separate from our environment is just an illusion. Now we're coming near at the end of the meditation, and just before we finish, I want you to reflect back over the last 40 minutes or so we've been practicing. And just look back and ask yourself, what was that like? How was I able to do that meditation? Was I able to perceive each of these four elements? What was clear about that? What elements were vivid? How did they become vivid? What things were obscure? Where was my mind interested? Where was my mind bored and drifting? What kind of emotional response did I have to these different elements? Was there anything? Was it just neutral? Was there like an aversion? Was there a sense of peace? Confusion? Just so you know, oh, okay, that's what it was like. And then ask yourself, what's your mind like now, compared to how it was at the start of the meditation? Finally, we can share the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy, may all beings be well, may all beings realize Nibbana. Sadhu. You can open your eyes, come out of meditation, have a stretch if you like. Thank you so very much. Okay, so we got one question here from Germany. Hello, Germany. How are you going? What's the weather like in Germany today? It's probably warmer than Perth. Okay, so from Germany, how do we decide what's the best meditation to deal with pain, panic attacks, anxiety, and grief, respectively? So all four of those things. My goodness, what's the best to gain health? How do we decide what to do? Well, I think the real question there is that last one. How do you figure these things out? Because everybody's different, right? And when we come to meditation, we can see, well, actually meditation can help with all of these things. But how do we know which one to do and how to approach that? Okay, so I'll just make a few remarks about that, because this is something which has quite a general usefulness. I have to actually put the clock back there before I start this, because this could take some time. Anyway... first thing is that when we're approaching meditation, don't see meditation as a panacea, right? Don't see it as a cure-all. It's something that can help with these things, but it's not like you can begin to meditate and then expect that all of these things are going to be cured, right? It has to be part of a bigger process in how you approach these things. You can't expect to keep on doing those things that are causing you stress and causing you anxiety, right? And then just meditate and make them go away, right? You have to address what are the things that are the cause of these things. And so meditation should be used in conjunction with and to support other kinds of things to try to deal with these things, whether it's medical or whether it's psychological or therapy, whether it's looking into your life and how you're living, the choices that you're making, and all of these kinds of things, right? So think of meditation as being something that can support and enhance these different aspects, rather than being something that's just going to cure it on its own. So just to go through each one that's mentioned here, first of all, pain. So meditation, generally speaking, is helpful for managing pain, and I think it can be quite generally prescribed for that. Like, so for anyone we're all going to experience pain. And one of the first things that you realize in meditation, right, when you sit down to meditate, is that all of the advertising was wrong. Okay, because the advertising said peace, happiness, that's what meditation is. But when you sit down, oh, it hurts. Right? No one mentioned that. Right? Come and sit and meditate at the Buddhist Society and you'll experience back pain, itches, sore neck, and all of these other things, right? But it happens. Yeah? And so this is your body is revealing itself to you. Like normally we mask the symptoms of pain. And we avoid it. We shift our posture, or we scratch the itch without even being aware of it, or we get comfortable in some way. And so we're a lot of the movement of our body and a lot of the things that we're doing are actually strategies to avoid experiencing pain. And so when we come to sit and meditate, we say, I don't care. Let it hurt. Right? And so the pains come. Now, I should say as a warning here, don't go nuts, right? Don't be crazy. If things like really hurt and are damaging you, then move and shift your posture. But just like during meditation, we'll experience like different kinds of pain or discomfort and so on. And you just learn to observe that. And everyone in this room has done that. You observe it, the pain comes, maybe it's an itch or a tension or something. You watch it for a while and then it goes away. Right? And when that happens, you have gained some power over that. Right? That's really important. Because it means that you are no longer subject to being pushed around by the pains inside your body. You understand that it's possible to stand back from those pains, to watch them, not be in denial of them or pretend them away, but just to observe them. And that gives you a lot of power and confidence to be able to deal with pain. And again, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do other kinds of pain management if you're experiencing especially chronic and severe pain and so on, right? So it's not a replacement for those things, but it helps you to give yourself back some autonomy. So any kind of meditation will be helpful for dealing with pain. So there's no particular prescription for that one. Now panic attacks is more specific, right? And panic attacks, if we're talking about them, you know, is a distinct kind of psychological condition which happens to a certain number of people. Then that's something I would, if that happens to you, I'd strongly recommend that you get professional help and some counselling or therapy to help you to manage and to deal with that, because you need somebody who understands what's going on with that and can give you the specific advice for your situation. Okay? But what I would say is that meditation, generally speaking, can help with panic attacks, but it can also exacerbate them. Because in your meditation, everything becomes more intense. And so it's not uncommon for somebody who's prone to have panic attacks that this can happen in their meditation. It can even be provoked by their meditation because they're going inside and they're experiencing those things more intensely. So I would strongly encourage anyone who experiences panic attacks and wants to meditate, please do it in consultation with an experienced teacher or professional who can sit down and talk you through these experiences and can support you through them so that you can learn to do it without harming yourself or without making it worse. Because then if you try to meditate and if the meditation brings on a panic attack, then you're not going to want to meditate again, right? Because it's going to cause a panic attack, right? So you have to take it very, very gradually. And if you feel that coming on while you're meditating, just stop and come out of the meditation. Don't try to push through it. Okay? So with that particular thing, I would encourage you, if it's at all possible, to do it in consultation with some kind of professional. As for the kind of meditation that's useful for panic attacks, any kind of meditation that is not too intense. Okay? So very gentle meditation, especially I would say walking meditation or short periods of sitting meditation. Okay, so something that's quite light and that allows you to meditate, get a bit of mindfulness and a bit of peace, and then you can gradually deepen it as you feel the confidence that those panic attacks are being mastered. Anxiety is a more kind of general kind of condition. All of us will experience anxiety at some point in time. Some people will experience it more intensely and so on. Again, if you are suffering from very strong anxiety, then I'd encourage you to find professional help and support with that. and to use meditation in conjunction with other kinds of therapy or other kinds of support. But for most of us, if it's just like a passing anxiety that we feel sometimes, right, it's just a mood, then just sit with it. Okay, you'll go into your meditation, you'll start watching your breath or doing loving kindness or doing four elements or whatever it is your meditation, and then this feeling of anxiety comes up. Maybe it has a cause, maybe it doesn't, and you feel that. Just keep on going with your meditation, keep on coming back to your meditation. Maybe that doesn't work. Maybe the feeling of anxiety is too strong and you can't meditate. So, okay, you realize that. You stop. Mindfully, you stop. Say, okay, this feeling of anxiety is too much for me right now. You set the meditation to one side and then you look into that feeling and you try to say, okay, what is that like? What is it like to feel that anxiety? Right? And rather than trying to run away from the anxiety or push it away, you just experience it. Oh, okay, that's what it's like. And sometimes when you do that, then that's enough. It will take the edge off it. You say, okay, it's all right. Actually, it's not a pleasant feeling, of course, but it's okay. It's okay to feel anxious. It's okay to feel anxiety or fear or stress. And then sometimes you can learn to accept that feeling and learn to let that feeling go. And so maybe it might be still there, but it's not dominating you in the same way. And if that happens, then you can come back to your meditation. So again, just to reiterate, here I'm talking about when anxiety happens in an occasional a circumstance, not as a generalized condition. So if you have anxiety as a generalized condition, I'd strongly recommend you get professional help with that. Grief. Okay, so grief is a more specific human emotion, usually caused by loss. And so meditation with anxiety, again, I would say similar advice to what I said with panic attacks, that any kind of meditation is okay, but don't do it too intensely if you're suffering from anxiety. Now, with grief, okay, so you tend to have these feelings of loss and so on. If you're an experienced meditator or a regular meditator, then it's quite likely that will help you to be able to cope with that grief. Okay, so it will help you through that. But the reality is that the human mind is complicated. Sometimes you maybe, you know, meditate for many years and you still feel that grief coming in very unexpected ways. Mind is weird, right? I had some students in Sydney once who their dog died in an accident, and they were so distraught and they were in tears and so on. And the wife said to me, "Ah, oh, this is so much more upsetting than when my mother died." Right? It happens, right? So don't judge it, right? You can't compare. It just happens, right? So you experience it. It's just a feeling. Now, normally we can cope with grief, okay? So normally you don't require medication or anything like that. In some cases, yes. But in most cases, you just cope with grief normally and you'll be okay. Let that process go through. And the most important meditation for coping with grief is the contemplation of impermanence, all right? So just keep on doing that contemplation of impermanence. But the trick with that is to, like, you know, saw how we were doing that four elements meditation? We always start with what's the simplest and most obvious thing. See, this is the thing. When someone dies, right, someone that you love dies, people suffer from grief and they try to think about the impermanence of that person, and they say, oh, well, that person's lived their life, and they contemplate impermanence in that context, right? But that's the hardest thing to do. So you're beginning with the hardest thing. You should begin with the easiest thing. Okay, begin by contemplating the impermanence of a leaf. Okay, go out into the garden and just look at the green leaves on the tree and the fallen leaves on the ground. Yeah, and say, see, those leaves are impermanent. And that mind of impermanence, you condition yourself to see that with simple and easy things that you don't have emotional attachment to. And then when it comes to seeing impermanence with those things you do have emotional attachment to, with your family, and with people that you love, or maybe just even, you know, any kind of grief, right? Then it becomes easier to do it. So the contemplation of impermanence is the best one for dealing with grief. For health, again, sort of general prescription, any kind of meditation is good for health. Breathing meditation is good. Loving kindness meditation is good. But don't expect miracles, right? Sometimes miracles might happen, right? But don't expect them. And so how do you decide what to do? You decide what to do by being sensible, right? Use your common sense. Use your experience. Listen to what the teachings are. Try the different meditations. See how they work for you. Because everyone's going to respond to meditation in their own way. And if you need help and guidance, specific help and guidance, then seek that out. But if you find that you're coping and it's going okay, then that's all right. Just keep going and trust your own wisdom. But at the end of the day, it has to be your own wisdom. Okay? So the best meditation teachers in the world can only give you pointers and tips and helps here and there. But it has to be you who understands your own mind and your own body and who knows what's right for you. Okay, so thanks for that question from Germany. We should finish up now and pay respects to the Triple J.